The Journals. Rachel lay in a crisp hospital bed, her pale face blank. The clear tube in her mouth was attached to a ventilator that was breathing for her, moving her belly up and down beneath the white cotton blanket. Other beeping, hissing machines surrounded her bed, assisted in life support. We had hoped these would be removed. Rachel would miraculously open her eyes, like charmed patients in movies and dreams. But we had recently learned her brain injury was too extreme. She would never lift her head from that pillow. Days earlier, Mom, my friend Lou, and I had spoken in hushed tones. Now we were silent. I stared at my lifeless daughter as if from a back row, while hospital personnel floated in and out of the damp, dimly lit room. When we got home, Mom brewed strong coffee. Like clockwork, the doorbell rang at 4:30 p.m., a sad church lady with a foil-covered pan. I worried that Lou had burdened our small congregation by asking women to bring meals every night of our 3-week vigil. Now, as I smelled shepherd's pie, I was grateful. How could I have cooked when even drinking coffee felt taxing? We sat back down, no sooner lifting our mugs when I heard Phil's boots tromping up the basement stairs.
"I think these are Rachel's journals," he announced, holding a large blue bin. "Where do you want them?"
Rachel never hid her collection of journals. I knew they were in our basement, too precious for her to store in the community cellar of her apartment building. But they were hers, private, off limits, until now. Mom and I exchanged glances. "In her room," I said. Grabbing our mugs, we followed Phil upstairs. Mom and I unpacked the bin, spreading out the journals on her bed. They nearly covered her rosebud quilt. Still quite strong, the late afternoon sun streamed through her window and skylight, illuminating this sundry hall of spiral, hardbound, leather, even 2 juvenile journals. We counted 20 volumes. I had no idea she filled so many books. I moved in closer to examine them, but Mom halted me.
"You can't read these until you heal," she said, moving diaries to sit down. "Give it a good year." Meanwhile, she picked one up and started reading.
I knew she was right. I stroked this cover, ran my fingers along that spine. I could only inventory these journals right now. Of course, I longed to read them. Rachel kept so many secrets. These diaries would finally let me in, give me full access to her life. But I had to wait. Scanning book after book, Mom clucked and shook her head, stopping only to remove her glasses and wipe her red eyes. "Oh, Rachel Gracie." She would read the volumes cover to cover before returning to Wisconsin, beginning with Rachel's juvenile journals.
"I think I bought her this," Mom said, lifting the Ariel, the Little Mermaid diary. "Listen to what she wrote on the inside cover," she said, smiling. "Keep out. Scram. Mine. Touch this and be prepared to get hurt. Go away. Get your butt out of here. Keep your paws off my stuff. Private property. Scram. No one allowed beyond this point. No adults. No kids. No anything. Piss off."
"Here's an entry Rachel wrote right after Ryan was born," Mom remarked moments later. "She would have been 8 years old. It's called Mustard Bath." She cleared her throat and began. "Last night, Mom got up to change Ryan. As soon as she took off his diaper, he squirted a liquid mustard poop all over the wall, the counter, and in the sink. Mom was so surprised she screamed. Dad woke up to help, but then, when he got there, Ryan whizzed all over him, the wall, counter, and sink." We both smiled. It also stabbed.
her sweetness, her innocence, her potential. If a juvenile entry undid me, how would I endure her adult journals? Later, when I would mention my intention to read these, friends and family would admonish me not to. I'd read the journals once, then burn them in a big bonfire, my sister Anna would advise. Looking deeply into my eyes, my cousin, Marilyn, a retired social worker and mother of three grown children, would say, "I would not read those journals at all. What Rachel wrote will only hurt you." No doubt, but nothing would stop me. I had to know what happened to my daughter. Therefore, as Mom read, I labeled and numbered the volumes chronologically so I could read them sequentially when the time was right.